Shalom, and welcome to Ve'ahavta Yisrael, a Hebrew phrase which means, you shall love Israel. We hope you'll stay with us for the next 30 minutes as our teacher, Dr. Baruch, shares his expository teaching from the Bible. Dr. Baruch is the senior lecturer at the Zera Avraham Institute based in Israel. Although all courses are taught in Hebrew at the Institute, Dr. Baruch is pleased to share this weekly address in English. To find out more about our work in Israel, please visit us on the web at loveisrael.org. That's one word, loveisrael.org. Now, here's Baruch with today's lesson.
When we study the book of Revelation, we learn that that book is the revelation of Messiah Yeshua. Now, the question that we should be asking ourselves is this. If all the people who the book of Revelation is addressed to are believers, we already know Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ. Why do we need a specific book in order to reveal to us Him? He's our Lord and Savior. The answer is this. Because who He truly is, we many times don't really understand. We say we believe in Him, but we need to have a proper revelation of Messiah, this one who is coming, in order to bring God's judgment, to pour out His wrath, and to bring an end to this world and the establishment of the kingdom of God. That Savior might be very different than the one that you think that you have believed in. Well, take out your Bible and look with me to the book of Luke and chapter 12. The book of Luke and chapter 12. Now, here we're going to hear Messiah say something that may be very surprising. Why, in fact, you need a proper revelation given to you of who Yeshua truly is. Because how this passage opens up is very surprising to many individuals. What do we read here? Well, look with me, as I said, the book of Luke, chapter 12. And we're going to begin with verse 49, where it says, "Fire I have come to bring upon the earth." Now, biblically speaking, fire relates to judgment. Fire has a purifying effect, a refining effect upon things. And this is what Messiah came to do. He came not simply to be nice and kind and do miracles and teach all these encouraging sayings, but rather He came with a very different purpose, and that is to bring the judgment of God. And as I've said many times, God's judgment is good. Why? Because God's judgment brings about righteousness. And the kingdom that God is going to establish is a righteous kingdom. So when we look at the Word of God, Yeshua is teaching fire. This is the reason I have come to bring fire, my judgment, upon the earth. And then He says, "And how I wish that it was already kindled." Now, why is that? Because He's anxious for the kingdom of God. This is His desire. This is why He came, to bring about a kingdom reality. Now, obviously, for human beings that are sinful, and we're all born with that original sin, meaning we all need redemption, we all need God's grace. Therefore, He came to die, but ultimately, He came for a kingdom purpose. We ought never to forget that. He is the King of Kings, and He is going to establish the kingdom of God, and He's going to do that with His judgment. So God's righteous judgment is a good thing. But notice what He says in the next verse, verse 50, where He says, "But a baptism I have to be baptized." Now, what's He speaking about here when He says a baptism? He is not referring to what took place much earlier on, when He was baptized by John in the Jordan River. He's not referring to that. But He's referring to what baptism shows. And what is that? The death, burial, and resurrection. So when He says here, look again, verse 50, but I have a baptism to be baptized. And he says, and how distressed, meaning how distressed I am until it should be completed. What's he talking about? The distress. It was not easy for Yeshua to go to that cross. He was going to be humiliated. He was going to be mocked. He was going to be beaten and spat upon. And we also know he went through a horrible torture, being flogged. And that is a tremendously painful punishment. And then he went through even a greater punishment that led to his death. And that is crucifixion. And let's not forget something of greater importance, and that is this: your sins and my sins. In fact, the Bible says the sins of the world were laid upon him. And at that moment, that intimacy, that fellowship with his Father, God the Father, was broken when he cried out, "Why, oh why, have you forsaken me?" All of this speaks about the tremendous suffering, pain, and torture that he went through. And that's why he says, look at the end of verse 50, "And how I am distressed until it should be completed." Verse 51. "Do not think that peace I've arrived to give upon the earth. No, I say to you, rather, the division." So he's coming for the purpose of not unity, but division. Does that surprise you? It ought not. Because he came for the purpose of proclaiming the gospel. And what does the gospel do? The gospel divides. In Matthew's gospel, the same passage, he says it this way: "Don't think that I came to bring peace, but a sword." What sword is he talking about? The gospel. Because the gospel divides this world into two categories, two groups: believers and not believers, the faithful and the faithless. And so this is what he's speaking about here when he says, "Do not think that I came to bring peace, but rather," he says, "the division." Verse 52. "For there will be from now on five in one home, and they will be divided." Now, showing here how there's going to be those who are divided against him. And we see here first there will be three against two and then two against three. So there's division. Whether it's two against three or three against two, it doesn't matter. He's simply saying there's going to be that conflict which his coming is going to bring about. And he came for the gospel purpose, and therefore the gospel brings division. And it is going to divide homes. He says here, look at verse 53. "For there will be division, father against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother." And then we have mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law and her daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. So what we see here is over and over, he's emphasizing division. Why? Again, the gospel breaks people into two groups. You are either for him or against him. And don't believe the false teaching of many. And that is that there's many ways into the kingdom of God. There are not. There is only one way, and it's the gospel. It is only he, not anyone else, only he that paid the price that God receives. And we see evidence of God receiving what he did on the cross, because God the Father raised his son from the dead. Now, we all know that Messiah says, "I have the power to lay down my life and to take it up again." But he did not. He surrendered to his Father. And it was his Father, the Bible says this many different places, it was God the Father who raised his son from the dead, signifying that he received this payment. When Messiah gave his life upon the cross, and he did so on Passover to be our eternal redeemer. No one else did that. There is no saving message in any other religion. All other religions are false. Only the truth that is contained in this book and this book alone is worthy to be believed. And therefore, he says in this scripture, there's going to be division. Look now to verse 54. He says, but I was speaking also to the crowd. Now he's going to talk about something a little bit different. And that is how we are hypocritical, that we are rebellious, and we really don't put what we know into action in regard to the spiritual realm. And we learn things about this physical world. Why? We're more interested in this world than the kingdom of God. And that's why he says, look again at verse 54. But he was saying to the crowd, whenever you see a cloud going up from the west, immediately you say, rain there will be, and it comes about thus. Verse 55. And whenever a southern wind blows, you say that it will be hot, and it will be. Verse 56. Now he's going to point out why he has difficulty with this generation. That generation when he lived and all the generations before and after. Because we are hypocritical. We say that we're interested in spiritual things. We say that we believe in God, but we aren't committed to the things of God. And that's why he says, look carefully at the scripture, verse 56. He says, hypocrites, the face of heaven and earth, meaning the skies and earth, you know to discern. Now, this word for discernment is a word of documenting. And what he says is this. When certain things happen in this world, you understand that they document what's going to happen, just as we saw. We see that there is a strong southern wind. It's going to be hot. We see that a cloud goes up from the west. There's going to be rain. We know how to perceive. Remember what Messiah taught us a few weeks ago. In regard to the last days, what should we be doing? We should be watching. Watching for what? Prophetic truth. And that prophetic truth is going to have some serious political implications to them. We're going to see that there's going to be a one world government, and the Antichrist is going to eventually rule over that government. And what he's saying here is this. You know how to discern physical things. You know that based upon what you observe, that there's going to be rain or there's going to be a period of great, great warmth or heat in this world. This is the problem. He says, look again. Hypocrites, verse 56. The face of the sky and the earth you know to discern. But, look now at the end of verse 56. But this season, meaning what's going on now prophetically, this season, how is it that you cannot discern? Verse 57. But whenever also from yourselves you do not judge rightly. Now, when we, and what this phrase means, and I read it kind of awkward, but literally. What he's saying is, from yourself, you do not judge rightly. Why is that? It's because when we judge for personal reasons, when our primary objective is ourselves, that we know how to act in our own best interests and not according to the interests of God, his purposes, his plan, we won't judge rightly. When we judge from ourselves, we are going to be deceived, meaning when we rely upon our own intellect and when our motivation is selfish reasons of ourselves, we don't judge correctly. And the end result is going to be that we are deceived by the enemy. And this is what this world that we are currently living in is preparing for, a great time of deception. As the scripture says, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, many Bibles will say there will be strong delusion. It doesn't say that. If you look at it, it says there will be the working out of deception. And what the scripture's teaching us is this. When there is a community, a society that is motivated by their own objectives, that society, that dispensation of time, that world is going to be deceived. And when we look at this current generation, we see selfishness. We see that people want to work from home. They want to work when they want to work. They only want to do the things that they want to do. Not everyone, but it's growing. And we see that this latest generation of new adults tend to be the most spoiled and the ones who want things according to their own desires. Where was that Second World War generation? I can remember watching the newsreels concerning Normandy and how American soldiers got off of boats under fire. And they were just mowed down one group after another, but they continued to go. And it was because of this heroic attitude, this self-sacrifice, that Nazi Germany was defeated, that axis of evil. Well, where are the people that have that same commitment, that same sacrificial approach to life? We don't see too many of these individuals left. And perhaps that's why that generation is called one of the greatest generations. Those people who laid down their life for your and my freedom. So that we would not be under a totalitarian world government. Well, Satan knows the times. He's looking. And I believe that he sees that his time is coming. This Antichrist empire is approaching. Verse 58. For as you go away, and pay attention to this, as you go away with your adversary unto a judge or a magistrate, someone who's going to decide your fate. There is a court case about to be heard. It says, on the way, give effort that you will be free from him, lest he drags you to the judge, and the judge delivers you over to the officer, and the officer, he casts you in prison. Now, this scripture has some very important implications. Now, I'm speaking to you today from Israel. And what we know that happened on October 7th is that Hamas, with much, much, much support of the civilians in Gaza. Don't believe the lies of the media. That the majority of the people in Gaza do not support Hamas. That is false. The vast, vast majority do. Do all? Didn't say that. But they receive great support from the citizens. The Palestinian people, if you want to use that made up term, the Palestinian people are not innocent in Gaza. And we see that not only did Hamas operatives attack citizens, children, even babies, taking them into captivity, seeing that many were put to death, horrible atrocities were done. Not just by Hamas, but if you watch or if you have access to the true story, you will know that many of the citizens join in and came, and they too committed these atrocities, killing. And here again, the news media is so false because they keep saying 1,200. Well, the number is much larger, and it grew as bodies were found and such. Israel reported, but the international media stays at that number, but they believe the lies of Hamas. Whatever number that Hamas gives, oh, the international media embraces that, reports that, believes that, when Hamas are liars. They say a hospital was hit. It wasn't hit. They say that it came from a rocket from Israel. No, it came from one of their own terrorist organizations. Lies, lies, and lies. But this is what the world is given. Why? That Antichrist spirit is approaching. Now, when we look at this verse, go again, please, to verse 48. What does it say here? Well, it's our second to last verse. It talks about a person being dragged before a judge. And what is this counsel from Messiah? That you should, and it's a word for working or putting forth energy for a release, to be separate from him. So you don't go before the judge. Why? Because if a person is guilty, the punishment may be more than he intends, more than he wants to receive. And this is what Hamas should have learned. And that is this. See, all the world is talking about, oh, a ceasefire. In fact, people say, how can we not have a ceasefire? And we want humanitarian aid. Learn something. America has failed in military conflicts one after another. That may be not be popular, but it's a fact. Why? Because America has forgotten how to fight wars. You fight and you kill the enemy until there is an unconditional surrender. You don't stop, you don't let up, you don't supply your enemy with food and water and sustenance. What do? You put the most pressure upon them to bring about, as quickly as possible, that's good for everyone, a unconditional surrender. So let me just simply say to you, if you are someone who believes that there should be a ceasing of the conflict in Gaza, you are mistaken. In fact, you are rebellious against what the Bible says about warfare. What should we do? We put the enemy to death. Just like Israel, they called upon the Canaanites to come out and surrender. The term Canaanite means to surrender. That's what that word means. They refused, and there was consequences. Well, what the scripture is saying in our second to last verse is this. You should work hard, put forth much energy, not to go before the judge for what you're guilty of, because the consequences may be much greater than you are prepared to pay. That's the wisdom that Messiah is saying. You should strive to be set free. How do we do that spiritually? By receiving the gospel message. By accepting the punishment that Messiah received for us when he went to that cross, and all the pain and suffering that went around the cross, that he endured for us. Don't be foolish, because if you are brought before the King of Kings and the Judge of Judges, having rejected that gospel, you are going to be very surprised when your soul is cast into, ultimately, that lake that burns with fire. Previously, hell. But the final state of the kingdom of God is the New Jerusalem, and hell will become that lake that burns eternally with fire and brimstone. Let's look at one last verse, verse 59. Yeshua is speaking and he says, I say to you about this one who is brought before that magistrate, that judge, being guilty, he says, I say to you, that you will not go out from there, out from that prison, until which also the last lepton. What is a lepton? A very small in value coin. And what it's saying here is you're not going to go out from that prison until your entire debt is paid. Well, realize the spiritual implication. That entire debt is how God views sin. And sinfulness, from God's standpoint, will receive judgment and an eternal judgment. Here's the message. You are either going to receive eternal redemption by the grace of God through the blood of Messiah, or you are going to receive eternal condemnation, whereby you will experience eternal torment, eternal sadness, eternal fear. Those are the two things that you can have. Eternal redemption, which brings about the blessings of God, the promises of God, eternal life in the presence of God. What a wonderful thing. or if you reject that. If you are led by your own desires, achieving your own purposes, your own plans, making your own decisions rather than listening to the revelation of God, then if that is your approach to life, if that's what you do, then you are going to receive that eternal punishment. There is not a multiplicity of places to spend eternity. You are either going to be in the New Jerusalem or in that lake that burns with fire and brimstone. No position in between. And that's why what we're studying today is of the utmost importance. We need to realize that there are things happening in this world. If you are a student of prophecy, you see them. When you are committed to the purposes of God, God is going to give you His perspective. You are going to see things differently from the world, and you will not be deceived. You're not going to be part of this great falling away from truth that is going to plague Christianity and is already taking place. And all of this is preparation for what? Well, Paul says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, this falling away, that great apostasy, is preparation for the Antichrist to be revealed in this world. This man of what? This man of lawlessness. He is full of lawlessness because he hates the law. The law is not an instrument that makes us righteous, but the law tells us what is right and what is wrong. Through the law, it defines the righteousness of God. And therefore, he hates the righteousness of God. This is where this world is going to. A kingdom, an empire, a one world government under the rule of the lawless one. Why? Because lawlessness brings about that which is the opposite of God. Righteousness brings the glory of God. The unrighteousness is pleasing to Antichrist and his empowerer, which is Satan. Things are happening, and my hope is this, that you have eyes to see with, ears to hear with, so that you do not walk in darkness, but you walk in the light of truth under the authority of Almighty God. When you submit to His authority, you're going to be amazed on how the spiritual revelation, the illumination of God's Word will come to you. You will know the truth, you will walk in the truth, and you will do the truth.
Well, we hope you will benefit from today's message and share it with others. Please plan to join us each week at this time and on this channel for our broadcast of loveisrael.org. Again, to find out more about us, please visit our website, loveisrael.org. There you will find articles and numerous other lectures by Baruch. These teachings are in video form. You may download them or watch them in streaming video. Until next week, may the Lord bless you in our Messiah Yeshua, that is, Jesus, as you walk with Him. Shalom from Israel.